Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare for our message today. Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God, and we thank you for each and every person that is here today. Father, we ask a special blessing upon Chris Carson and the kids today. Father, may you be with them as they go to junior church. Father, we ask that you would be with us today as we hear the words from your precious word. Father, we ask that these words would be uplifting, encouraging. And always, Father, may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we always be doers of the word. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Abiding Memorial Sunday, where we come together as a church family to remember those who have passed away in 2024. It's also the Sunday during my sermon time that I speak on the subject of heaven. Now, believe it or not, there are some people in the church who don't want to talk about heaven. And you know why? Because to get to heaven, you have to what? You have to die. And let's face it, death is not the most popular topic in the world. I mean, no one ever says, why don't you come over Friday night and hang out? We'll have some pizza and talk about death. If someone gave you that invitation, you would probably say, no, I think I'll pass. But here's the thing. This is the reality. We all are going to think about death sooner or later. Everyone will think about death sooner or later. And that's because death is inevitable. And that's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You know, you often hear a sportscaster say that a professional athlete who is injured is day to day. Well, like it or not, that's a pretty good description of us. We're all day to day, whether we know it or not. And that's what it tells us in James chapter 4, verse 14. It says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, as Mike Tyson found out last Friday night, Father Time is what? Undefeated. And since we're all going to die someday, I thought it was appropriate that we answered the question that I want to pose today on this Abiding Memorial Sunday, and that is this. Will we see our loved ones again? Will we see our loved ones again? You know, every one of us here has had the sad experience of going to a funeral and paying our final respects to someone we knew and loved in this life. So this topic is anything but theoretical. It's not theoretical. This topic is practical, and it's very personal. And I think we all want to know the answer to that question, the truth to that question. Will we see our loved ones again? Well, thank goodness we don't have to sit around and wonder and hope, and that's because God has given us the answer to that question, and it's found in the Bible, and it's found in our text that we're going to read today. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version today. You can either follow along with me, or you can use your own Bibles. If you have a cell phone, you can do the Bible there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you want to follow along with me, I'm doing the New King James Version. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want Paul, the Apostle Paul is talking. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's exactly what I am trying to do today. I'm trying to comfort you with these words. Now, did you notice how our text begins? It begins by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. And when he says that, he means those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You see, God wants us to know the truth. God has not hidden the truth from us. Now, if you're here today, and don't take this word negatively, ignorant, it just simply means you're not familiar with it. If you're here today and you are ignorant on this subject, well, I do have some good news for you. And that is, God has something very important that he wants to share with you today. So let's get into this. I mean, what happens when Jesus returns? Now, for some people who study Bible prophecy, they like to focus on the world-shaking events that will surround the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, like what's happening right now in Israel and the Middle East. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does have a lot to say about the rise and fall of nations in the last days. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is wanting to deal with here in this passage. You see, the Apostle Paul is more concerned about something much more fundamental. Paul wants us to know what exactly will happen when Jesus returns, whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's in 1,000 years. In other words, the signs are important, but Paul says the second coming itself is more importantly. Now, when it comes to the second coming, you have to look at the second coming kind of in two stages, okay? The first part of Jesus coming back to earth is what we're talking about today. We call it the rapture of the church, and this is what we're talking about, where Jesus will meet the dead in the sky, okay? That's the first part. That's the rapture. And then 7 years later, after the Great Tribulation, Jesus will actually bodily come down to earth and reign for 1,000 years, and heaven will eventually be here. So, just so you understand what we're talking about with that. Now, in this passage, Paul lists 6 things that will happen when Jesus returns. 6 things. And this could happen. All the prophecy for this has been fulfilled. Okay, so this could happen right now. It could happen at any time. First, Paul says that there will be a sudden descent. Look again at verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Notice the emphasis is on who? The Lord himself. Not a substitute or a stand-in, not a look-alike, not an angel, not a guest host, not an Old Testament saint. No, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Jesus himself will bodily and personally return to the earth. And that's what what the angels tell us in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus ascended back to heaven. It said, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I love those words. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. The same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. Same Jesus that was raised in Nazareth. The same Jesus who walked the dusty roads of Galilee. The same Jesus who healed the sick, raised the dead, who preached good news to those in captivity. The same Jesus who was betrayed, tried, denied, condemned, scourged, crucified, and buried in a borrowed tomb. This same Jesus, dismissed by many, mocked by some, hated by others. This same Jesus, the head of the body, Lord of the church, creator of the universe. This same Jesus, the Lord himself, will descend from heaven, returning to the earth that rejected him. You see, the first time Jesus came as a lamb to be slaughtered. But when Jesus returns, he's not coming as a lamb. He's coming as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Once Jesus was judged by men, now Jesus will come to judge all men. First time Jesus came to be crucified, the second time he's coming to be crowned a king. Once he was mockingly called King of the Jews, when he comes back the second time, he will be called King of Kings. So that's the first thing. There will be a sudden descent of Jesus himself. Secondly, Paul says there's going to be a loud shout when this happens. Look again at what it writes in verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. In other words, the Lord is going to descend with great pomp and ceremony. And make no mistake about it, this will be a shout of authority, this will be a voice of majesty, and this will be the trumpet call of victory. You see, back in the olden days, whenever the king was coming into a village, the town crier would run around ahead of the king shouting, "The king is coming, the king is coming." Well, in the same way, the King of Kings will make his entrance known to the entire world. Thirdly, Paul says the dead in Christ will rise first. Look again, it simply says in verse 16, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Right here, we're talking about a statement of priority. You see, evidently, some of the people at the church of Thessalonica, they were a little confused, and they were a little worried that when Jesus returned, he would rapture the living but leave the dead Christians in the graves. And Paul says, guys, don't worry about it. The dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. And please, don't miss those two little words in verse 16. In Christ. This is talking about believers. This is a resurrection for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For the unsaved dead, they're going to be left in the graves. Oh, they'll be resurrected later on at a place that we don't want to be, the great white throne judgment 1,000 years later. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 20. Now, let's make sure we all understand what this text is saying. It's saying that all believers who died, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be raised when Jesus returns. That includes people who have died 2,000 years ago. That includes people like James and John, people that you have read in the Bible. Peter, Timothy, Barnabas. People who died 1,500 years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 1 month ago, 1 week ago. It includes people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday, Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, and all of the saints who died last week. This is going to be a literal resurrection from the dead. Now, how's it going to happen? I don't know. But what I do know is I do know this. The same God who was able to raise Jesus from the dead, he is going to raise all the saints of God who died. The same God who raised Jesus that we celebrate on Easter is going to do the same thing for your loved one. We'll raise them from the dead to live again. Now, every now and then I'll have someone ask me, well, what about those bodies that have been cremated? What about those bodies that were vaporized in some catastrophe? Well, don't you think the God who created the molecules knows how to put those molecules back together again? Yeah, don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. And they will be raised indestructible, and I am looking forward to this. How many of you are looking forward to a brand new body? Now, if you're a younger person here, you have no idea what we old people are doing. We're going like this. Younger people, like, I get a kick out of the 30-year-olds. They look around like, no, I kind of like my body. But yeah, you take a look at the older people, man. I'm looking forward to a new body. That's what the promise is, a brand new body, clothed with immortality, healed, restored. And yes, how many of you had a loved one who had Alzheimer's? Just broke your heart, didn't it? Well, guess what? The Bible promises they'll be in their right mind. And is that not something exciting? I know that's exciting for me because my mom had Alzheimer's. My mom didn't know me for the last 4 or 5 years of my life. And so that is exciting. Raised to live forever, to die no more. I love the way the Puritan writer Thomas Watson puts it. We are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Oh, how precious is the dust of a believer. Well, Paul continues. Fourthly, Paul says there will be a glorious rapture. Look again at what he writes in verse 17. Then we who are alive, okay, dead will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that word rapture, you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're not going to find that anywhere. Basically means caught up. That phrase caught up in the Greek is the word harpazo. It means to seize or to snatch. It means to swoop down and take away. In other words, it always implies of a change of location. And in this case, it means living believers will literally be lifted off the earth. In other words, there will be a generation of people that will never see death. Some people think it's our generation. Don't know. There's a generation of people that will never see death. How will it happen? According to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, which I understand is faster than a blink of the eye. One moment we're here, the next moment we're gone. I know what you you're thinking, do you really believe that? Yes, I really believe that. I do, with all my heart. I want you to notice three key words here. Oh, let's go back. No, let's move on. Fifth. Now, I was going to go somewhere, but I don't want to go there. Fifth, Paul says there will be a happy meeting. There will be a happy meeting. Look again at what he writes in verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Who are them? The dead in Christ. So our loved ones who have been raised from the dead, we who are Christians, we will meet them in the air. Sounds science fiction, but it's going to be awesome. We're going to meet them in the air, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. In other words, we're going to meet the Lord and be with the Lord always. Always. And that, my friends, is called what? Heaven. I get a kick out of people. You ever hear people try to argue about what heaven is? Where heaven is? Oh, yeah. You'll hear people get into these discussions. Well, you know, heaven is like it's the third heaven, which is it's past Pluto. It's deep, deep in outer space. And then you'll have another person, they'll look at each other and say, oh, no. It's another dimension. How do you think angels can walk from one place to another and come into our, you know, to the earth and stuff like that? Just gives you a headache listening to people talk about where heaven is right now. You know where heaven is? Heaven is where Jesus is. Leave it right there. Heaven is where Jesus is. You all remember when Jesus was talking to the dying thief on the cross? Luke chapter 23, verse 43. He said, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, where is paradise? Class? Wherever Jesus is, whoever said that's a genius. Boy, they were on that quick. Wherever Jesus is. I got news for you. The glory of heaven is not the streets of gold, not the gates of pearl, not the river of living water. The glory of heaven is Jesus. Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, I don't know. But wherever he is, that's where heaven is. And that, my friends, is going to be the happy meeting place for all of us. We will see Jesus face to face in person. Well, finally, Paul promises us a wonderful reunion. Look again at what he writes in verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. This is talking about the ultimate family reunion. Ultimate family reunion. Where all of God's children from all centuries, from every land and every nation, will finally be together with Jesus Christ. And you know something? That's what Christians have always believed. That when we lay our loved ones to rest, that we do have the hope that they will be raised immortal when Jesus returns. Do you know what the Bible calls death for a Christian? Asleep. Your loved one is asleep in Jesus. It's because when you go to sleep, what happens next? You wake up. You wake up. And that is what death is for a Christian. It's a glorious beginning. I find it interesting that the word cemetery means sleeping place. And that's what the early Christians called the burial place. A sleeping place. All right, what have we learned so far in this message? We've learned that the dead in Christ will wake up, their bodies brought back to life by the resurrection power of God, that they'll be raised from the grave immortal, and they'll rise through the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and to be with him forever. And that brings us back to the question that I asked in the beginning of this message. Will we see our loved ones again? Well, I'm going to give you an answer you're probably not expecting. It depends. It depends. It depends on them, and it depends on us. Now, how does it depend on them? They have had to have been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't care what people will try to teach you. Not everyone goes to heaven. Not everyone goes to heaven. If they didn't have time for Jesus in this life, he's not going to have time for them in the next life. If our loved ones die without Jesus Christ, there is no biblical reason to think that we will ever see them again unless we see them at the final judgment when they're eternally condemned and we don't want to be there. But if our loved ones died in Christ, then yes, you will see them again. But the answer also depends on you. Where do you stand when it comes to Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior and your Lord? Have you trusted in him alone for the forgiveness of your sins? You know, I think it would be terrible if our loved ones went to heaven and looked around for us and we weren't there. So friends, please take these words to heart. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. So I ask the question one final time, will we see our loved ones again? Well, the answer in Scripture is very, very clear. Yes, we'll see them again if we know Jesus and if they know Jesus. And then notice what Paul says here, and he wraps it up in verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And friends, that's exactly what I am trying to do today. I'm trying to remind you of something that you already know. That's all preaching is. It's me standing up behind a pulpit or a minister standing up behind a pulpit and reminding you what you probably already know that you probably might have forgotten. You know, when you're grieving, sometimes you're not thinking, and it's important for someone to remind you of the wonderful news of the resurrection, of the resurrection. And that's all I'm trying to do, that we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. If you haven't figured it out by now, everyone dies. Unbelievers and believers alike. They're buried, we're buried side by side in cemeteries all around the world. But there's one thing that makes the difference, and that's this: the Word of God. And the Word of God says that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And friends, if God raised Jesus, he will also raise those who trusted in him. But if we reject this word, we have nowhere else to go. And you know, I can't help but wonder how many Christians who attend a funeral really understand that. Understand the resurrection of the dead. You know, I didn't truly understand it until Paul and I took our first trip to Israel and we stood outside the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. That's the place where many people say that the empty tomb was at. And I remember standing there looking at the empty tomb And it really hit me for the first time. The grave is empty. The grave, it's empty. There's an empty grave on the other side of the world, outside of Jerusalem, carved into a mountainside, and it's been empty for 2,000 years. And friends, that's why I believe we'll see our loved ones again. That's why I believe in my heart, I will see Dennis Fox again. I will see Bob Markle again. I will see Guy Patterson again. I will see Ethel Shoup again. I'll see my mom again. Believe it with all my heart. Because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe death will not have the last word. That's what this book promises, and I put all my faith in this book. As that old gospel song, The Roll Called Up Yonder, says, on that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Friends, that's our hope. And that is God's promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this promise that cannot be broken. You know, Father, I have to be very honest. Might as well, you already know what's in my heart and what my motives are, so I might as well be honest. Sometimes I waver. Sometimes I do doubt. And sometimes the fear of death can overwhelm me. And I'm sure others feel the same way at times. Well, Father, when those moments come, would you wrap your loving arms around us and remind us of what you did when you raised your son from the dead? Father, help us to live in hope and to die in faith. And it is in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen.